The big boys were so impressed by his gesture that they walked away and left him alone. Don't you wish that every conflict could be resolved as easily? You know, our Lord does not want us to be people of conflict, but rather peace and unity. In fact, we see this throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote to several churches and encouraged them to live in unity, with be of one mind and one judgment, he would say. My Lord prayed for this in John chapter 10, which is really the Lord's Prayer, verses 20 and 21, where Jesus there says, Father, pray I not for these alone, but for all of them that shall believe on me through their words, that they might be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Paul on one occasion wrote to the church at Philippi, where two ladies were having a very heated disagreement. In fact, it was affecting the church. And Paul there encourages the church to help these women to resolve their conflict. You know, one of the things that I really think is pretty awesome about the Bible is how that God, when he takes a picture of even his greatest leaders, he never photoshops the warts and the blemishes, but he shows them just like they are. Moses was a murderer. David, adultery and hypocrisy and conspiracy to murder. Abraham lied more than once. Think about how that Jacob was deceitful, and Jonah was stubborn and he was disobedient. I think about how that Peter denied the Lord, cursed and swore. I think about how John the Baptist was plagued with doubts, as was the Apostle Thomas. So the Lord doesn't paint rosy pictures of even his greatest and greatest of leaders. So whenever we read in Acts chapter 15 about this conflict between Paul and Barnabas, it really shouldn't shock us. But it still does, because it was indeed something that God did not want to happen, and something that should not have happened. But it did. So let's take a few minutes and look at the story. Oh, other way. We see here that how that Paul and Barnabas had just finished with their first missionary journey, and they had gone to Antioch to kind of take some time off. But they were called to Jerusalem because there was quite a conflict going on there. The whole council, Jewish council of the churches, were summoned to try to get through this nagging question about circumcision and the Gentiles. Were they commanded, or should they be commanded, to perform the rite of circumcision or not? And this had come up in many of the churches. So many had gathered there, the leaders had gathered in Jerusalem, and Paul and Barnabas were called there. And this thing got pretty involved. But the calm council of Peter and James and Silas and Paul and some of the other great leaders, finally a decision was reached that no Gentiles were not commanded to perform the rite of circumcision. So while they were there in Jerusalem, Paul comes up with this idea to go back and visit the churches that he and Barnabas had just established. And which is a great idea because new Christians need to be checked on and encouraged. And that's what Paul wanted to do. And Barnabas thought this was a great idea. And everything was going pretty good until Barnabas said, you know what? I'd really like to take John Mark with us. And Paul says, absolutely not. You see, what had happened was that John Mark had gone with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, but somewhere along the way he got homesick and he left and went back. And this really bothered Paul a lot. I'm talking about it bothered Paul a lot. So they argue. It gets really heated, and neither party is willing to give any ground, and so it ends in them pretty well splitting company. Now, the going on the trip wasn't the problem. The problem was who they needed to take and who they didn't. So, Paul and Barnabas have this problem that about whether or not to take John Mark. Paul and Barnabas, they're good men. They're godly men. But they're not perfect men. Someone said that they were glad that the Holy Spirit recorded this particular problem, because it just makes us all understand that we are human. And there are going to be times when we just disagree. Even the best of friends, even husbands and wives, even the people that you love a lot, even in families. But before we go on with the story, I want us to kind of look at some things that we need to keep in mind whenever there are some problems and disagreements that come up between us. First of all, we need to realize and remember that in every disagreement there's one issue, but there may be several viewpoints to that issue. The one issue here with Paul and Barnabas was whether or not to take John Mark. And Paul didn't want to, and Barnabas did. And what we need to realize, though, is that viewpoints are important, but they're subjective. By that I mean that a lot of times the way we look at things depend on how we were brought up, how we were raised, who we are, what station in life we are. I can tell you that I came up in a whole different time than what our kids are coming up in today. You might say a world apart. And so, yes, a lot of my thinking is going to be colored by the time I was brought up in, the home that I was brought up in, the situations that I was brought up in. So viewpoints are subjective. And the way that we look at a lot of things depends on when we came up. Someone has defined disagreements like this. A disagreement is a conflict that involves an issue seen from opposing viewpoints. Secondly, we need to kind of remember that every side in a disagreement has validity. There are going to be some weaknesses. There are going to be some strength on both sides, as it was with Paul and Barnabas. And usually, neither side is a slam dunk unless you're doing the dunking, and then it's a slam dunk. So to keep those things in mind are helpful as well. And thirdly, in a heated disagreement, someone usually gets hurt. And that's not good. Especially when it gets into attacking character. And sometimes those wounds can go so deep that it takes a long, long, long time to heal. And sometimes they never heal. So we really need to keep the heat low. We need to watch our words really closely. So for a minute here, I just kind of like to be neutral. And just kind of sit on either side, sit in the middle here, and look at either side here. Look at Barnabas's side, and look at Paul's side, and try to be objective. Should a person who once walked away from a serious responsibility be given another chance, was what Paul was saying. That was where he stood. And Barnabas was saying, yes, we need to give him another chance. So Barnabas was saying, yes, by all means. Paul was saying, no, by no means. So let's look at what Barnabas's viewpoint was. I think that Barnabas was trying to build character in John Mark. In Acts 15 to verse 37, it says, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Now, this wanted in the Greek was an imperfect tense, which means not only did he want him to go, but it means something forcefully. So not only did Barnabas say, I want him to go, but he said, he is going or I'm not going. So Barnabas was really taking a big stand here. And, you know, I can kind of imagine how the conversation may have gone. Barnabas may have said, you know, this young man is going. And he could have said, you know, I know he left us this last time, but we got the job done. We need to think about him. We need to be mentors to him. We need to give him another chance. And there was something else that's kind of going on here. In Colossians 4 and verse 10, we read where John Mark was actually Barnabas's cousin. So he's got family going on here. You know, I don't know whether some of his family got gathered and said to Barnabas, I want you to give John Mark another chance. But anyway, so John Mark is in the picture. And Barnabas is going to stand his ground. Well, but what about Paul's viewpoint? Well, Paul was just as passionate as was Barnabas on this point. In Acts 15 and verse 38, it said, but Paul did not think it wise to take him. Now again, this phrase here, did not think it wise, is also in perfect tense in the Greek, which means that Paul kept on insisting that this wasn't a good idea, kept on insisting that this was not a wise idea. Maybe Paul's conversation may have gone like this. Well, you know, I'm all for giving second chances, but this is too important. We have got a big, big job to do here, and faithfulness with God and with me is number one. And so he's already left us one time. I just can't take a chance on him leaving us again. Barnabas, you can say, was concerned about the man. Paul, on the other hand, was concerned about the mission. So Barnabas was looking to the future. Paul couldn't get over the past. So there's a problem here. The issue keeps boiling and boiling. And for Paul, it's a lack of dependability. For Barnabas, it's give the man another chance. So, who was right about this? Well, both viewpoints have their strengths and their weaknesses. You remember we talked about that. So there's no quick and easy solution to this. You and I are leaning toward Barnabas, you know. Like, Paul, what's going on here, man? Give the kid a chance, you know. But let's stop and think about this just a minute. Would you be so quick and so willing to loan money to somebody that you had loaned money to before that never paid you back? Or what about, would you loan your car or your Jeep to someone that wrecked it? Now, Randy did offer to pay for it, but would you offer your car to somebody that you'd loaned it to, they wrecked it, and they didn't offer to pay for it? So you see, it kind of, when it comes back on us, it gets into a whole different situation. So there was a sharp disagreement. Well, go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures will help you. So Paul might have gone to Proverbs 25, verse 19. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on an unfaithful man in times of trouble. But then Barnabas might have said, well, look at Psalms 103, verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my most inner being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So yes, my God is a God of a second chance. But he also holds us accountable. So really, we're kind of right back to where we were to begin with. But there is good news. Because John Mark redeemed himself. And redeemed himself in the eyes of Paul. Because in 2 Timothy 4 verse 11, there where Paul is talking to Timothy about coming and seeing him in Rome, he says, get John Mark and bring him with you. Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. So it is that is a good end to that relationship between Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. And it's, you know, it's so great whenever brethren can bring things back together. And when you've got someone that believes in you and someone that will encourage you. But that's kind of where we have to leave this. A.T. Robertson wrote about this situation. He said, "No one can rightly blame Barnabas for giving his cousin John Mark a second chance, nor Paul for fearing to risk him again. One's judgment may go with Paul, but one's heart may go with Barnabas." So it ends where Barnabas and Paul cannot reach a compromise or an agreement. And so this story kind of aches for a good solution. But let's see how the story concludes. Let's go back to Acts 15 and start reading at verse 39. "They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So it's kind of sad that two partners parted company. Mark and Barnabas, they sailed southwest. Paul and Silas traveled north on foot. And this, the way this ended, it kind of feels like that Satan won a victory here. But when Satan divides, the Lord multiplies. It's so awesome how that God can take a situation that doesn't look so good and turn it into something that is good. Because that's exactly what happened. Because now, instead of one missionary team, you have two missionary teams. And so Barnabas and John Mark are going one direction and strengthening the churches, and they start several new churches. And Paul and Silas, who became an awesome team together, go another direction and visiting churches and starting churches. And so it turns out to be a very, very valuable thing for the church. But this reminds me of what the Lord said in Paul's writings in Romans chapter 8, when he said, "All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." So not everything is good, and not every day is good. Not every situation is good. But for Christians, God can find something good in every one of those things that happens in our lives. So now let's talk about, in our closing thoughts today, about some strategies we need to employ, some things we can learn from this situation. Obviously, God meant for us to learn something, or he wouldn't have put this in there. I think one of the things that we can learn is that we can learn that when we have a disagreement, we need to work hard to see the other person's viewpoint. And that begins with good listening. And this is something that doesn't come naturally, because we want our viewpoint stated and we want to stand on it and we don't want to give on it. So we have to work at trying to understand a person's heart and their head in a disagreement. And this we have to ask God to help us to do. Secondly, we need to understand that both sides have validity, and if there is it is possible, we need to work on a compromise. David Osberger said, conflict is natural. And everybody should be willing to come part the way and attempt to resolve things. Compromise is a gift to human relationships. We move forward on the basis of thoughtful, careful consensus and compromise in most decisions of conflict. I keep asking myself that question. Why didn't Paul and Barnabas come to a compromise? Why didn't perhaps maybe they take some others with them, John Mark and some others, in case John Mark bit back, they would still have the support and the to help with the needs with some other people. Maybe they could have left John Mark there in Antioch with a very important task, and if he did that, maybe he could join them. I don't know. There seems like to me there would have been several things that they could have done. And then thirdly, when conflict persists, care enough to work through it rather than walk out on it. Hanging up or slamming the door really doesn't ever accomplish a whole lot in a conflict. Nor does lengthy manipulative silence. Granted, it may come to a point where you have to say, hey, we're not getting anywhere here. And if we keep on with this, we are going to say or do something we wish we hadn't said. Why don't we sleep on it and think about it and take this up later? Fourthly, when it cannot be resolved, graciously agree to disagree instead of becoming disagreeable. And I think that's what Paul and Barnabas did. I think that they just decided, look, we're not going to resolve this. So what we need to do is we just need to agree to be disagreeable. Agree to disagree. And go on with the work. Don't let the work suffer. And they didn't. That was the main thing. They didn't say, well, all right, then nobody's going. In fact, they doubled the effort of the mission. They didn't scrub the purpose that they had intended to accomplish to begin with, and that was to strengthen the Christians and strengthen the churches. So, someone said, we need to learn to get over it. Sometimes that's not very easy to do. Sometimes our forgiveness is really, really conditional. And that's not the way forgiveness ought to be either. I think about Luke 23 and verse 34 when the Lord was on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we stand at the foot of the cross and look up and we realize how far God has come to meet us, we should be willing to go the distance to meet another in our conflict. Because it can really get to be some messy business between husbands and wives or parents and children. And again, I we have to understand that we're coming from different directions. And so, kind of like the old country song that says, let's meet in the middle. When we can learn to do that, we can find that our conflicts can at least end where they're amicable. I want to leave you with a passage of scripture this morning from Paul's writings to the church in Corinth. in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul says, I appeal. The King James Version says, I beseech you, brethren. I'm begging you, brethren. They were having a lot of problems at Corinth. There were a lot of things going on in the church there. Paul deals with them in the book of Corinthians. And son, he gets down right in where the rubber meets the road and pretty well tells the church just like it is. The book of 1 Corinthians, to some people, is a very harsh book that was written by Paul, but it was a very needful one. But of all these things that are going on in the church, which he gets to, the thing that he starts with is the unity. And he says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Again, the King James says that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Again, I think, you know, obviously God wanted us to learn something from this story that he told about Paul and Barnabas. Again, they were very, very good friends. They were very, very good partners. They were good men. They were godly men, but they were not perfect men. But God took the situation and used it for the good of the church. And I think that what we can learn out of this as much as anything is, let's don't place ourselves in a situation where God cannot use us because we have gotten a mindset that won't let the mercy of God penetrate our minds and our hearts. God needs us, and he needs us, everyone. And one of the things that he needs most from the church is the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because together we can do so much more than we can do apart. And by all means, help us, God, to turn loose of those situations that have come in our lives. And I'm not trying to say they didn't hurt us. I'm not trying to say that they were right, we were right, or we were wrong. I know that those things have happened, but help me, God, to have the heart of my master, to be able to forgive, and to go on and be of use to my God and to the church. This morning, if you have never made a commitment of your life to God, I think about when we talk about compromise, how far God came to meet us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. I think about the father and the prodigal son who ran to his son. He didn't stand there with his hand on his hips waiting to say, boy, I told you. You was a sorry little dog. Now you come back wagging with your tail between your legs. And that's exactly what I knew would happen. He ran to his son and he said, this is my son who was lost and found. He was dead and he's alive. With that kind of attitude, we can resolve the conflicts that come up, and we can be the kind of Christian God wants us to be. But make the commitment with your life to believe his truths, to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's something in your life that's been a great roadblock or a stumbling block. It's kept you from being a Christian. It'll keep you from heaven. Why don't you try to get rid of that today? Lay that aside. I know God will forgive you. Now, I can't say as much for the person perhaps that was involved in it, but I know God will forgive you and help you to have the strength and the courage you need. So will you come while together we stand and sing?